Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, a Detroit Lions podcast hosted by lifelong Lions fans. UJ.
It seems apparent to me that the most intellectual football fans tend to be Lions fans.
Bob.
Stafford is the best quarterback in football. Remember what you saw here. Tell your grandkids. Don't forget.
Red Dog.
I believe we're on the precipice of a new era of Detroit Lions football dominance.
Connor.
Patricia looks like Violet Beauregard from Willy Wonka out there. An absolute blueberry on the sideline.
And I'm your host, Big Z. The media knows nothing. The Detroit Lions 2021 Super Bowl champs. We can't wait for this upcoming season. Relax, it's time for the pod. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, welcome back to the podcast where we'll be talking everything about this 2020 season of the Detroit Lions, less than memorable one, I think, for certain. But we'll go around here and introduce the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew, and we'll be discussing on this podcast, first of all, the Lions' current head coaching and GM search, and then we'll get down to our grades for the 2020 season. So let's go around the rest of the crew. First of all, I'm Big Z. Now let's go around. So UJ, we got...
Happy New Year!
Then we got Bob.
Hello there.
Then we got Connor.
Hey, everyone.
And then last but not least, Red Dog.
Yo!
So, gentlemen, the season has wrapped up. The Lions have secured the 7th spot in the draft order. They not get any help moving up in the draft order on Sunday, so they stay in the 7th spot. What they will do with it, we will have many discussions in the future about that, so we're not really here to talk about the 7th spot so much. What we will be talking about in this podcast, again, is the Lions head coaching and GM search, and then we'll move on to our grades, our ever-popular season grades. And so, first, let's get into the head coaching, shall we? The names that have been interviewed so far. The first coach to be interviewed, first head coach to be interviewed, was Marvin Lewis. He's actually the current co-defensive coordinator for Arizona State. Obviously, the longtime Bengals head coach. I was curious about your guys' opinion. What would you think of Marvin Lewis as your head coach?
No, I would not want Marvin Lewis. He had a very mediocre end to his career in Cincinnati. They should have fired him years before they did.
Yeah, I felt like if we kept Caldwell, we were going to be doing the Marvin Lewis thing, just 9-7, a playoff appearance with an early out, like every year, like something that like that.
Well, yeah. Someone argued that Marvin Lewis is hamstrung in Cincinnati, and he never could get everything he wanted to make that team work. So, you know. He made the playoff, what, 3 or 4 times during his stay there? I mean,
yeah. 5 times.
I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but I would like to see a more youthful, energetic coach.
Yeah, I wouldn't be excited about that hire, but I wouldn't be, like, horribly upset by it. But I personally don't hope they go that direction.
That's where I fall in more, Bob. And like UJ was saying, people think that Marvin Lewis actually did his performance in Cincinnati was extremely underrated. They were known to have like the worst facilities in the NFL, and they couldn't lure in any big free agents. It was all through the draft is how they built their teams to be competitive. In addition to that, their ownership would never go out and spend big in free agency ever. Like they never did it. So they're known for those two things, and his ability to compete, get them to the playoffs every year. Some people thought was masterful, and some people, you know, think it deserved getting fired because it couldn't take him over the top. So it depends on, you know, maybe what Chris Spielman thought of his time there and what other people in the NFL think. But it'll be interesting. But yeah, and Rud Dog, that my first thought when I heard Marvin Lewis was Jim Caldwell too, in terms of someone that was stagnant, competitive but never could get over the top. So there, but Marvin Lewis never had Matt Stafford. He had Andy Dalton. I would say Matt Stafford a significant improvement over anything Dalton ever did in Cincinnati.
I would agree with that.
So the next, the Lions, we recording this today on a Tuesday. So the day before, today, Eric Bieniemy was interviewed. And then today, Darren Bevell was being interviewed for the head coaching position. On Thursday, Robert Saleh is being interviewed. And then the Lions also have interviews lined up with Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans, and then Dan Campbell. If you don't remember his name, he was the backup tight end for Lions for a little while in 2006, 2008, and now he's the current assistant head coach for the New Orleans Saints the last 5 years, and he's widely well-respected, at least, over there in New Orleans. So what out of all these names, gentlemen, does anybody excite you the most? Does anything pop out? I'm just curious what your thoughts are here.
Well, I'll go first if I don't care.
Yeah.
I would say the most exciting one would be Saleh, just because he's, he's an exciting guy to watch on the sidelines. The players love him.
Yeah.
Fans love him. He doesn't have the head coaching experience, so it's a bit of a crapshoot. But just as far as excitement factor, I think he would be my top pick.
Yeah, he seems to be a natural leader. And I think in the modern NFL, I think you need a guy who can lead men. It's a strange brew of guys out there nowadays. You know, it's not like the rah-rah college days. These guys are all their own brand, their own names. I mean, to keep these guys all heading in the same direction, it takes a guy who can lead men. And he seems to be like a guy that can do that. Plus, I just want to say one other thing. When Patricia was coacher, he came in with the lie that turned out to be that our team would adapt to any situation. And all that. So a lot has proven it on the field. He's lost tons of players, and he's adapted no matter what the situation was, and they played a really good football despite losing so many people. So I really like the prospect of him being the coach.
Yeah, he seems to be the hot choice, and I thought he did have a couple years of head coaching experience, Bob. Didn't he, coach for the Raiders or something?
Robert Saleh? No.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
I thought he had.
No.
No,
so I no thought he someone did not. Told,
I thought that was said earlier.
You've been given bad information. Bad information.
Bad. Yeah, I mean, well, then never mind.
He's the kind of guy that seems like he could actually make something with this current awful Lions defense. Like, it seems like our defense would be fixed fast enough with him as head coach, which I think is why people like him.
Oh, and plus he's going to bring supposedly three defensive players with him, according to Dante Whitner.
Yeah, and so the thing with Saleh, it'll be interesting to see what happens at the GM spot, too. If the Lions are able to take John Schneider away, that's one of the names that was thrown out there. That'd be kind of wild if the Lions are able to steal him away from Seattle.
I would love that.
Yeah,
I would love that.
And I don't think the Lions would have the trade. It's considered a promotion, actually, if he becomes the GM of the Lions, because Pete Carroll has final personnel say in Seattle. So it would be a promotion for him to come over to Detroit. But in addition to that, Saleh was over there in Seattle for a little while while John Schneider was over there. So they'd have that type of camaraderie. In addition to that, Saleh, if he gets hired, though, I think if he does get hired, what's going to be interesting, and I guess we could talk about this later more at length, but on the offensive side of the ball, I would not expect Darren Bevell to be there. If Marvin Lewis is hired, I'd say yes. I think Darren Bevell would stay. But if a guy like Saleh is there, I would think he brings over Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur is the, I get these two confused. Matt LaFleur is the coach of the Green Bay Packers. His brother is the passing game coordinator right now for the San Francisco 49ers. He's considered an offensive coordinator in waiting. That seems like a natural fit to bring him over to Detroit to kind of bring that Kyle Shanahan type offense to Detroit, which would be it might open up T.J. Hockenson.
Yeah,
what you think about that.
Right.
Not like we invested a lot in him or anything. So
yeah. The other really interesting one is Arthur Smith. That guy is interviewing with every single head coaching vacancy right now. I can't say the name a lot. Can't say the same about every other coach on this list. Martin Lewis is interviewed with two people. He's the only one that's interviewing with every team, Arthur Smith. Saleh, I don't think, is doing it with one of the teams. I can't remember which team. I think the Texans he isn't interviewing with. So Arthur Smith is definitely one of the hottest, if not the hottest name, hotter than Saleh's name, actually, right now. And that's just because of his offensive mind. He runs this duo run offense. But it'll be really interesting to see a guy like that who's built his way up 12 years through the Titans organization and an offensive mind coming in here over defense. You see a lot of teams, they had a bad defensive guy, they switch over to an offensive guy because the defensive guy didn't work out. But I think with Saleh, it's different. This seems like the guy that they want out of Patricia, like a culture guy. This is a guy that can build like a culture in the team. And it almost seems like too natural fit Saleh coming to the Lions. Is that a bad thing?
Yeah, and what I like about Saleh is the culture seems to be coming from him, where Patricia was trying to duplicate, I think, what Belichick was doing. So.
True.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everyone in San Francisco just loves the guy. Like, they're like, they're basically telling teams they're going to be stupid not to hire him, which you didn't get the same thing as Patricia.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Bob. I really like that point, actually.
Whoever we end up getting, it's going to be a losing battle that I'll be fighting to not get my hopes up too high. So it's hard to get too, like, because we were that. I mean, Bob wasn't too high on him, but I was pretty excited what Patricia was bringing. So it's hard not to get excited. I'll be excited whoever we get.
Yeah, and then if you were.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Bob, sorry.
No, I was going to say.
I was.
We're talking over each other. I'll just finish my point because I'm rolling right now. I was going to say, Bieniemy, he seems like too much of a wild card. You know, like, obviously, the Chiefs have a great offense, and it's always a question of whether he's calling the plays or not, or if it's just Andy Reid. Plus, he is a bit of a checkered past before he became, and I think we were avoiding character things. Like, Patricia had his checkered past, which came up later. But, so, I don't want Bieniemy.
Yes. Yeah, I would be less excited about Bieniemy personally as well, Bob.
The question
sure.
of whether or not he actually calls the offense to me is the biggest red flag, because if he's calling that offense, granted, Mahomes and Tyreek Hill are going to make any offense look pretty good probably, but I mean, if he's calling it, then that's fine. But if he's not or is only kind of assisting, then we got like sort of like the Lombardi thing. Like, how involved was Lombardi really with the Saints' offensive program before he came over to the Lions? You know,
I kind of imagine it's more Andy Reid. But
yeah,
the thought of
agree.
Replicating
would
the Chiefs offense
was
so tantalizing. Like, imagine Stafford in that offense. It's like amazing.
That's why.
But
I
agree,
like
it's very risky.
That's the trap.
I would completely agree. Now let's move on to the GMs really quick. This is the more fascinating one. The Lions are going a lot of different directions with this GM interview cycle. So Rick Smith, they've interviewed already, the former Texans GM that currently retired to help his wife, Louis Riddick, Scott Pioli, Thomas Dimitrioff, the ex-Falcons GM that just got fired this year. Then they have their three internal guys. We don't need to mention their names. Terry Fontenot, he is the pro talent evaluator for the Saints right now, number two for the GM of the New Orleans Saints. Then there's Jeff Ireland, who's also the number two, a co-number two of the Saints as well. He actually was GM in Miami before, which was kind of up and down tenure for him. Rather down, though. He got fired, obviously, so it didn't go too well for him, especially with a lot of off-field issues. And this Jeff Ireland guy asked Dez Bryant during a pre-draft meeting if his mother was a prostitute. So,
he was involved in that. I remember that.
Yeah, maybe a red flag there. This is a guy I think has maybe the inside track to get a Lions GM job just because of the connection with Chris Spielman and his brother, Rick Spielman, over in Minnesota. And that's just a guy named George Patton. He's in charge of pro scouting and his experience as a college scout. He is the assistant GM in Minnesota right now, but he's worked with Rick Spielman over there for years, and he's kind of like his right-hand man, and he's been waiting in the wings for years to take over the GM. This kind of seems like a perfect fit if he's getting good vibes from his brother over there in Minnesota. And then the last one is Brad Holmes. He's from the Rams. He's only 41 years old, but he's been in the league for 18 years, working his way up through the scouting ranks. So there, and of course, John Schneider, as I mentioned, over in Seattle, he's been the GM there, GM quote unquote, for years, but he does not have final personnel decision. That's Pete Carroll. So a wide, wide gap. And it's expected the Lions are to hire one of these people that they have interviewed, not some outside person that hasn't been announced yet. That's what Rod Wood at least said today. So
I just want to say, I want to give ownership credit here. I know everyone blasts ownership and, you know, they sell the team and all that stuff, but they seem to really be going all out this time around to do the right thing. I think one of the key hires was Spielman. I really, really think his input's going to be invaluable in this search. And they seem to be turning over every stone, man. I mean, it's great. In the past, they interviewed two or three people, and then they pick one. And this, they seem to really be doing a thorough job here. So I just want to give them a shout-out for the first time in my lifetime seeing them do that kind of thoroughness.
Yeah. I like that they're not using the league. Like, they're kind of doing it themselves, which gives me more hope.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like how they have some other former Detroit Lions people. They have the former Michigan State athletic director on these interviews. Barry Sanders is helping on the interviews as well. So this, the, all the different kinds of questions that they are asking these people. I would love to sit on these interviews. Oh my God, I wish they could record.
Oh God,
I would love to see how these interviews go. I really would. I don't know how long they go. It would be fascinating to
just
hear.
Just having Barry Sanders and Chris Spielman in a room. Be cool enough, like, sit and talk to them.
They should record these things and make them public after, like, 10 years. I think that'd be really cool. They never
idea.
Would do it, but
that's a great
I think
idea.
It would be really cool.
That would be cool.
All right, so let's move on now to our 2020 Detroit Lions grades. So I'm sure we're all going to have a lot of high marks for this 5-11 Detroit Lions team. So let's start it on the offensive side of the ball. So we're going to go with the offensive personnel groups first. We're going to break this down by personnel groups. So quarterback, offensive line, wide receiver, blah, 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 so on and so forth. So let's start with quarterback. And that includes also Chase Daniel and a little bit of David Blau. But, of course, mainly Matt Stafford. But it's not all him. So let's go around. We'll start with you, Bob, first. I want to start with your grade on the quarterback position group.
Well, quarterback, I think that's probably our strongest group. Not because basically because we have Matthew Stafford, who's a great quarterback, and I think he's one of the best in the league. I was very disappointed, actually, with Chase Daniel. I thought he'd offer a little more when he had to come in. I was disappointed with him. I kind of like Blau. And just Stafford, because he had injuries and everything, so he wasn't like a solid A. I would just go with an A- for the quarterback group.
Wow. Very generous. A-. All right. Let's go to you, UJ.
All right. I'm not as generous as you, Bob. I like Stafford too, but I'm just giving him a solid B. I think early in the season he was a little rough. I think he got better as the season went on. And part of that is not his fault. I think part of it is Patricia's fault, that the type of game plan he was running. But once Patricia was gone and Bevel got to turn him loose, man, he was just brilliant, amazing. So for grading the whole season as a whole, I got to give it a solid B. The backup sucked, basically. But Stafford, solid, man. So if we go on with Stafford the next couple of years, I'm totally okay with it. We don't have to find another quarterback, although I wouldn't mind finding a mobile quarterback in the draft that can, you know, work under him for a year or two. But, no, I love Stafford. And, solid B for me.
All right, Connor, so what do you think of the quarterbacks and Matt Stafford here?
Well, kind of touching off what UJ said, I think it's complicated because, I mean, it was so evident that Patricia's scheme was holding back Stafford. That being said, I still think Stafford played kind of poorly the first few weeks of the season, like overthrowing some deep balls and making some weird decisions, taking sacks he didn't have to take. And Chase Daniel was awful. I never want to see him in a Lions uniform again. But once Patricia was gone, and then the second half of the season, I thought Stafford was as good as it gets. And I'm of the opinion that we should keep Stafford. I still think you've got a good 4 years of Stafford. You really want to go for it with him. I understand if you want to trade him, but whatever. I would give them a B plus on quarterbacks. Mixed bag, but I love Stafford.
All right, let's go to you, Rud Dog.
All right, well, I'm not as generous as any of you because I don't think they deserve a B-level grade. Stafford was inconsistent most of the year. He did play strong towards the end. I think he played good enough to win on like a better team, so I'm making this a C-plus for the good, strong finish by Stafford, but like all the crappy play by the backups, and it just wasn't a very good season. Average grade, yeah, but not good enough to get dubs.
That is outrageous.
Yeah, I'm gonna go B minus. Stafford early in the year definitely not playing true to himself. It was good to see him be unleashed here right after Patricia was fired, like immediately after the week after he had what I thought was his best game of his career, arguably, against Chicago. That game, he was just slinging it all over the place. It was unbelievable. I know he threw a pick in that game, but it was still incredible, some of the throws he was making in that game. He threw 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, post-Patricia era. And way higher rating and way more yards per attempt. That's what makes me think if Darren Bevell's offensive coordinator next year, I still like him, and hopefully that was just a Matt Patricia thing. But big old fat F for Chase Daniel. I couldn't agree more, Connor. This guy was complete trash. I don't know how he's made $40 million in the league. His arm is awful. Awful. I mean, just terrible. And he has mediocre speed at best. So I don't know what he brings it to. Maybe he's really good in the film room, kind of like Kellen Moore was. Like, why are you hung around so long? I haven't heard that like I did with Kellen Moore. So
you say good in the film room. What does that mean? Like he's making like doggy shadows on the screen, like,
you know? Yeah. He brings the popcorn.
Yeah, there you go.
He
brings the popcorn. Yeah.
He notices things. You know what I mean. Know what you mean. But so yeah, I'm gonna go B minus here because I do think Stafford obviously just kept the Lions in a lot of. I mean, this Lions team won 5 games somehow. Wow. With being the worst defense in the entirety.
That's my thing about Stafford. I mean, like the worst defense in Lions history, and they still won 5 games. I mean, it's
I agree.
They were doing something right on offense.
Yeah,
so. you don't drive the ball down at the end of the field against the Falcons with a minute and no timeouts unless you have a guy like
exactly.
Stafford. So that's where it can't be a C.
You do got to remember though, we've literally won one of those games because of the defense too. If it wasn't for Okwara getting that sack fumble at the end of the Bears game, that
they gave up
don't even get that
30 points before that point.
Yeah, but we don't even get that dub without it. That's all I'm saying. Stafford threw that game
and then
away
Stafford and also drove him down and him. Swift dropped the ball against the Bears. And that was Stafford's brilliant
one.
Drive. So
hey, even a blind acorn one, finds a squirrel once in a while. Come on.
The Lions win that game if they have a competent defense, which they didn't for most of the game except for one play. So
yeah.
All right, let's move on now to the next segment. Oh, by the way, just really quick, predictions for next year. Is Stafford back in a Lions uniform? Let's go around really quick. Bob, just really quick.
Yes, I think he will be back.
Connor?
Yes, he'll be back.
Yes.
UJ?
He will be back.
Rud Dog?
Yeah, I think he'll be back.
I agree, he'll also be back, and Dave Burkett said that's his feeling talking to people around Allen Park. So now let's move on to the offensive line, a unit that just went through a million up and downs this year. They had the big V signing in the offseason. Graham Glasgow is gone, replaced by Jonah Jackson and Joe Dahl. So let's go around now. Let's start with you, Rud Dog, since you're the former offensive lineman here. What is your grade on the offensive line?
This certainly was a mixed bag season for this offensive line. A lot of time they seemed like a really good pass blocking O-line just to give up a bunch of sacks in another game. Their run game so rarely got going. But I got to give them credit for keeping Stafford clean most of the season. Therefore, I'm going to give them a B-. They didn't do a great job, but they weren't total crap either.
You're harsh.
All right. Let's go to you, UJ.
I'm going to give him a solid B, actually. Ragnow is awesome. Decker's awesome. I think Jonah Jackson's going to be a really good pro. So, really, we're looking at three out of the five guys I think are really solid players. We do have to shore up that right side. I know it's hit and miss with some of these guys, but I think the offensive line deserves a B. They did keep Stafford clean most of the time. And they actually started to open up a little bit in the run game, too, as the season went on, when we started using our good running back. But we'll talk about that later. But I give them a solid B. I just think I think this is a good unit, and they're young, and I think they're only going to get better.
All right. Let's go to Connor.
I'm going to I don't know. This is a tough grade for me because I still feel like the run game isn't quite where we need it to be. But, I mean, it's showing flashes of where it can go. And I do think they kept Stafford clean most of the season. I'm going to go B minus. I think they're a capable unit. I think they weren't a detriment to the team. But I do think there's definitely room to improve next season.
All right. Let's go to Bob.
Yeah, I pretty much agree totally with UJ. It's like he stole that whole spiel out of my brain. But because I think Decker and Ragnar are really excellent players. The Vitae was not a good signing. That'll when we grade Quinn, we can talk about that.
Vomit.
But yeah, Jonah Jackson. So it's a lot of youth there, and I think they're going to only get better. And I think the run game did show flashes this year, which it hadn't for a while. So. And but they're best in pass protection. So I think this unit is just going to get better, and I would go with the B. So
this is a tough one. Like you guys are saying, Ragnow, Decker, awesome, awesome, awesome. They had a great year, especially Decker. I mean, best year of his career after you sign a contract, yeah. Which is usually it's the last year of the contract where you get the best year out of their career, not the first year of a new one.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So that was good to see, and what is going to happen going forward. I know Decker wants to talk to Rod Wood personally about keeping Stafford and some other thoughts he said that he had on the team going forward. I don't know what those things are or how hard it is for him to get access to Rod Wood's phone number, but I thought those were interesting comments from him. But Ragnow continues to be an incredible center, hopefully a piece that will be there for a very long time. So two building blocks there for any coach coming in. They got to like that. Jonah Jackson. Hopefully after a year and one more year in the offseason, he can really improve and upgrade his game. But that right side of the line was something else.
Yeah.
Big V. Oh, my God. Well, I mean, first of all, he injures his foot in training camp, then bring in the season. First of all, this guy was brought in as a right tackle, ends up playing right guard for us, which is supposed to show off his quote-unquote versatility. Tyrell Crosby was decent for us this year. Maybe that's why they were so comfortable moving him to right guard. I mean, what do you guys think of Tyrell Crosby? I haven't heard anybody mention his name yet, and he played a lot of snaps for us this year. I felt he was okay. I don't think he's a long-term solution.
Respectable. You know, like, you could definitely trust him in there not to botch it terribly,
I feel like he's a really solid backup right tackle.
Yeah.
Like, that can have a career for a long time in the NFL. But as a starter, not preferable.
Which was both of those guys, because that's what the tie was, too. We brought in a career backup to be our big starter.
So, I mean, with two, I have two A's from Ragnow and Decker. Then I have, like, a C from Jonah Jackson, an F from Big V, a C from Tyrell Crosby. Joe Dahl, I give a D. So I'm going to give a C-plus on the offensive line this year. I thought their run blocking could have been much more improved. Or maybe it's so hard to tell. I need to go back and rewatch the tape this offseason. If it was indeed the offensive line, or if it was more Adrian Peterson just being like, look like he's pulling a 10-pound or a 1,000-pound truck behind him on some of the runs compared to having DeAndre Swift.
You also have to consider that our defense was so bad that we were having to pass a lot more than we were, you know, control our offense. So I don't know. Just throwing that in there.
That's true. But, I mean, there was instances like in that let's go to the second half of the Bears game where the defense was playing good and our offense comes out three and out, and our defense is expected to turn around really quick. So there's some really bad stretches of offense in there, especially early.
I think
in the
goes into our next category, personally. if that's running back, if you're thinking about running back.
Yes. I didn't know which category you were going to.
I assumed you were going to running back after that.
Yeah, so C-plus or offensive line for me, so now let's move on to the next category, which is running back. So we have DeAndre Swift, we have Adrian Peterson, those are our two big ones, and then, of course, Kerryon Johnson, if you remember, he's on the team. And then Jonathan Williams, I think, had one run on the year he fumbled the ball.
That was not good.
So let's start with you, Bob. What was your grade for the running back group here?
Well, the running back group was interesting. I mean, Adrian Peterson, you know, people were all in awe of him on the team just because they grew up watching him because he's really old. But he did show some flashes for us. But the obvious great part about our looking forward is DeAndre Swift. And he showed flashes of what he's going to be, which I think is going to be very good. But he's had a little problem hanging onto the ball.
And, hold on to the damn ball, dude.
Yeah, hold on to the ball. He dropped that pass against the Bears, which just killed me. But and then he was injured, so you know, it's kind of a mixed year. Kerryon, I think he did a pretty good job, you know, blocking, but not so much running the ball. But so I'd probably go with the C for the group, but I'm excited about the future of Swift, despite his troubles this year, because he showed some flashes of greatness.
And I wouldn't say good job, but Kerryon Johnson was number one graded pass blocker from the running back position this year.
Well, there you go.
PFF, at least. So, let's go to Connor.
Yeah, I thought Adrian Peterson was just misused. Like, I don't know why they were ramming him down our throats for half the season. And he even said it himself when they finally decided to go to Swift. He was like, I don't know why it took them this long. So I'm not going to hold that against AP. I think that's more of a coaching problem. That being said, though, I think the running backs were very average this year. I think Swift is the first time I felt like we had a real true number one running back is with Swift. I never really got that feeling with Kerryon Johnson. And I know he's a great pass blocker, but as a runner, he leaves a lot to be desired, I think. And I'm really not sure about his future in Detroit down the line.
You didn't get that feeling with Kerryon before his injuries started coming into play?
I don't know. Not really. Not like I'm getting it with Swift, at least. Like, where I feel true confidence that he could be, like, a 1A running back for us. So, I don't know. It was a really mixed bag season. Obviously, Swift still has stuff to work on, and he was missing a lot of time, too. But I'm going to go solid C as well. I think this group can improve next season.
All right. I mean, but just to the Kerryon Johnson thing, though. But I mean, like, right after that New England game where Patricia, you know, facing his former boss for the first time, Kerryon Johnson over 100 yards rushing. I think he had over 40 yards receiving in that game. We have a number one running back maybe now. I did.
I'm not saying I never liked him. I mean, I've always liked him, but I'm talking about saying
in your mind, like, oh, we got number one. We finally have, like, a number one running back here.
That game didn't have me fully convinced, and I was right. So, I guess.
All right.
Credits my big brain for seeing the future.
Jesus. Well, he got injured, and he's looked completely different running back since his injury.
Probably foresaw the injury.
I foresaw.
All right, let's go to UJ. What do you think about the running backs this
year? Solid C also. The potential with Swift is just amazing. I think he's going to be a great back in this league, maybe a star. The Adrian Peterson thing, like Bob said, he showed flashes, but, man, we just used him way too much when we should have been using the younger guys. I just wonder sometimes if Kerryon is a great blocker, by the way. He's a great blocker in the backfield. And I just wonder if they don't use him in, you know, giving him the ball because he's such a great blocker. They don't want to hurt his blocking ability. I don't know. But I thought they should have given him the ball a little more, maybe screens or, you know, whatever. I still like him, but I wish they had given the ball a little more. I like Swift, especially for his potential and which he's starting to show. But it's just a solid C for the year. But I think the future of Swift is very bright.
All right, let's go to Rud Dog.
Well, if we're talking about how they were used, then that's a big F in my book. I think they were totally misused. But as far as their production on the field, yeah, Peterson did an admirable job for where he is in his career with the workload he was given, which is way more than it should have been. I mean, when you put that guy in the red zone, he's like a bloodhound for that goal line, and I had no problem using him in that situation. But he was just overused so much and only broke out so few runs. Swift was showing that spark, and he looked really exciting at times. The ball handling issues definitely needs to be fixed. As far as, I don't know who the other guys were, but and that was a personnel thing. I don't know when we're going to grade that, but this will be coming back for Quinn. But anyway, yeah, I give them like a C+. I thought they did okay. I think the plus is mainly for Kerryon giving an A+ freaking blocking performance.
Yeah, and so I'd go C here as well. You do it because I do think that DeAndre Swift showed a lot of upside and some good things. And I do like, after Patricia got fired, the use of Adrian Peterson. Now, they gave him 16 rushes in the game against Chicago, but that was because DeAndre Swift was out for that game, and they didn't have much choice on a short week. But then after that, he only had 4 carries, 6 carries, 4 carries, and 7 carries, and he's a lot more efficient. And they, like Rudd Dog was saying, they use him on the goal line, and that's where he really excelled. Especially when he only had 5 rushes a game, he could use all his energy on those goal line rushes, and it showed that he's a lot more powerful in those type of situations, at least at this point in his career. But you had the knock, the running backs for the fumbles this year, especially DeAndre Swift. I mean, just brutal and brutal situations and dropping the ball in the end zone on the game winner. You have to knock him for that on the grade for sure. Another one, too, is they got rid of Ty Johnson, who ended up looking really good on the Jets. So we got a shout out from Ty Johnson on our Instagram, but that was the highlight of the year for us in regards to Ty Johnson being a
Hey Z, if he was playing so well with the Jets, do you think it was the running backs coach they have over there? Jim Bob Cooter?
I was waiting for that one. I was waiting for that one, Bob. And just a reminder, Jim Bob Cooter, running backs coach of New York Jets this year. That's Bob's coach.
That's
great. You know, it is what it is. Yeah, Kerryon Johnson, you got to give him props for the blocking. And he stepped up, you know, every once in a while with a good run here or there, but mainly is his pass blocking. So that's the running backs group. I'm sure we'll have a lot more to discuss on that going forward as well, especially the future of that position, if Swift is indeed that number one guy or if they find a 2A guy in the draft or 1B, 2A, whatever you say. But let's move on now to wide receiver, a lot more interesting group here, a group that has 3 expiring contracts in Galladay, Jones, and Amendola. It's going to have a lot of turnover here coming into, Agnew too. So a ton of turnover here coming into 2021, but let's see what everybody's grades are. Let's start with you, Connor.
This is a weird group for me. The whole Galladay injury was so weird. Like, why didn't they put him on IR? Like,
bizarre.
That was
really
weird.
Bizarre.
And like, no one I've read has come up with a sensible explanation for that. And cutting Marvin Hall, I thought, was also strange. I know they gave some reason about testing out younger guys, but that also seemed bizarre. And Marvin Jones, he really had an up and down season. I thought, like, a lot of the year with Galladay out, I was like, well, why isn't he stepping up as the true number one? But I thought the last few weeks, actually, Marvin Jones has been excellent. Especially that last game against the Vikings, so they played really well. So I really don't know where to go with this unit. Amendola, all these other guys, Agnew, like, I don't know. I didn't really notice them most of the season. I'll go C+, I guess, on them. That's my gut reaction. Maybe I need to think about it more.
Yeah. Let's go over Rudd Dog here. First of all, I want for Rudd Dog his grade on Cephas's season and then get into the rest of the wide receiver group.
You know what? He had a couple drops, and that was the downside there. So it gives him a minus. But he also stepped up and from day one was making plays as a receiver. He got sat on the bench for a while when Galladay came back. But, I mean, he was one of the – the big touchdowns in our winner against the Bears. So, I mean, I got to give him an A- as a rookie season on a scale. A- on a rookie season slider scale. So, minus for the tops.
He definitely got a lot more playing time than a lot of receivers do from a fifth round draft spot.
I'm just saying, and he produced. Like, he got a, I mean, he also the knock about his speed, he showed didn't mean much when he took the top off the Bears defense. So, I mean, say what you want. But anyway, as a group, Marvin Jones disappeared for like a good like 4-game stretch, it seemed like. After Galladay went down.
Yeah.
And but once he kind of, I think it was even once Patricia was gone, he decided to change his ways too, and he turned into one of the like the best in the league, I'd say. He was dominant, finished with almost 1,000 yards receiving. I'm giving him a B+ because of those that lost part of the season where he just wasn't producing. But I mean, he was awesome. Galladay not breaks even. I don't know. Lost season. Amendola was tough and showed up at times, but wasn't a huge factor. So, I mean, overall, I'm going to give this grade to this group a B-. They put up points a lot, too, so they weren't terrible.
All right, let's go to UJ.
All right, I give them a B. I think a lot of this has to be taken into perspective that the first half of the season, I think a lot of it had to do with just the scheme and the coaching. Once Stafford was unleashed, Jones became a marvel. He was great at the end of the season. Galladay, the lost season, inexplicable. I have no idea what the deal was with that. How do you get a hip injury and then you're out for like, what? Who knows? What? No one will say. We don't know. Maybe it was legit. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. Cephas is, I think he's kind of a bright light. I think he's going to be a good receiver in the future for this team. Amendola, average. Not his best season. I think it'll be the last season for him here, but I'll just give him a solid B. For the future, I have no idea what's going to happen. Depends on who they can sign, but I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens there.
Yeah, and as far as the future, UJ, at the top of this draft has Ja'Marr Chase and Devonta Smith, two really top-end high-end
wide
receivers.
Devonta Smith would be awesome. That would be incredible.
Well, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is being mocked ahead of him, even.
Yeah.
So.
Are we getting into the draft talk?
No.
I know. He brought up the future, so I just had to mention those two names really quick.
Well, do it if you want. I'm good.
Future's obviously up in the air, but we're just grading right now. So,
let's go to Bob now. What's your grade here for the wide receivers?
Well, yeah, the wide receivers was like a very strange thing this year. And I would give them an overall C. And I think that's part of the reason why I give Stafford such high grades, because he had a really poor core to work with. Kenny Galladay, when he did play, which is very little, he still looks awesome. He looks like one of the top receivers in the league, him fighting those balls. I mean, coming up to catch a ball and grab it from the defender, he's got to be one of the top receivers in the league that can do that. And I think it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I think his injury is legit. I have no reason to think it's not. So, hopefully he'll be back and healthy. Marvin Jones, he's still good. I don't know why they didn't use him as much in the middle of the year. Amendola is kind of a mixed bag. He had a couple drops too. Not quite as reliable as he used to be. And who else do we have? Sanu or whatever, doing nothing. So I would give it a C.
Yeah.
And to Rud Dog's point, I actually was a little impressed with Cephas. I think he's got a pretty good future. I'm not saying he had a great year, because they threw him to the wolves right away against the Bears, and he looked terrible. They targeted him a bunch, and he was dropping everything and whatever. But he started to track the ball better, and he has the ability to get open. He's got kind of sneaky speed. He's not super fast, but he can run good routes. So if he can just hang on to the ball a little more, I think he'll be a pretty good receiver. So maybe not a Hall of Famer, but I think he'll be.
Hall of Fame. That had to hurt, Bob. That had to hurt for you to say that.
So, seat for the group.
This is an interesting one. And the Marvin Jones thing, I don't know if I blame Marvin Jones as much as the scheme. I mean, when they fired Patricia, you literally saw in that Bears game them throwing a – they didn't even complete the passes, but Marvin Jones downfield and double coverage getting thrown at. Like, it was double coverage. They're still throwing the ball deep. Those are the type of throws they were never doing under Patricia. It was very much more conservative, less deep ball action. I have no idea, but once Patricia got fired, Marvin Jones started lighting up the stat book again. It doesn't make sense what was going on the previous to Patricia's firing, especially after what we saw in the first half of last year with Stafford throwing deep. I have no idea what was happening there. But nonetheless, I thought Marvin Jones, I give him a B+. He probably earned himself a really nice contract. He could thank Darren Bevell for that, opening up the playbook and the Patricia firing. Amendola, yeah, definitely a subpar season for him. Had a great game against the Bears, but overall, not as reliable on third down as he was last year, I'd say. Galladay, when he was in, obviously spectacular, but the problem is he wasn't in. It'll still be befuddling why he was never put on IR. They must have, and the fact that he was like warming up before games in Chicago and then just kind of stopped, really bizarre. I actually liked the Sanu signing a lot. I thought that was really helpful down the stretch. It might be nice to have a guy like that earlier in the season, actually, especially early in the season, rather than like a Cephas, for instance, starting so early like that when you could have had an established veteran there to step up. So I'm gonna give it B-. Because I do think there was a lot of good things out of this group, and it wasn't all their fault why they were underperforming. I thought it was more scheme than the group itself. Mm-hmm. Let's move on now to the last offensive group. That's tight ends. TJ Hockenson, Pro Bowler, Pro Bowl season, a.k.a. Rudd Dog's worst draft pick in Lions history. So let's go to him first. Yeah. I want to go to the tight ends, to Rudd Dog here.
I still don't agree with the pick, but I like the player, and Hawk had a pretty darn good year, all said and done. Dropped a few too many in at big times, but I mean, the numbers were pretty awesome. I don't know how he graded out in blocking. Our run game suggests it probably wasn't fantastic, but Jesse James showed up a few times big. I don't remember him being like an X factor or anything, but I mean, the group as a whole, receiving, I would give it like a B+ grade. Blocking, I have no idea, like a C. Hard to say, but so overall, I give the group a B.
All right, Connor.
I mean, it goes without saying, like, Hawk is incredible. I still think they're misusing him. Not misusing him, but not utilizing him to his full extent. I think he can be the top tight end in this league. But he had a good season, a few drops. Jesse James, I still don't understand why we paid him all that money. Every time I feel like we talk about Jesse James, like, we'd have to remember that he was on the team. Like, we'd forget for a while, and then, like, he'd make a play and be like, oh, Jesse James, like, he exists.
I do want to say Jesse James, top 10 pass blocker from the tight end position in the
NFL. Well, I was going to get to that.
Just throw that in there.
Yes, thank you, Zach. He was good on the pass block. But as a receiver, I still think not pointing up to his contract. I'm going to go
agreed.
B on the tight ends, I guess, just because I really love Hawk.
All right, let's go to Bob.
Yeah, the tight end position. Yeah, Jesse James, he had a pretty decent year as far as his Lions career, but he's definitely overpaid for what he provides. But like I said, his blocking is pretty good. He did make a couple good catches for us this year. Not the production that I was hoping for when we got him, but and then Hockenson, I think he's just a beast. I love his attitude. I love the way he loves football, and the guy's not afraid to like hit or get hit. The guy's just a baller. He's like, I put him and like Stafford and Decker like the same cut. They're cut from the same cloth, I think he was a great pick for the Lions and one of Quinn's best picks, wouldn't you say, Rod Dog? But anyway, he's going to be a future star. I mean, he is a star already. So I'd give the overall grade an A- for the group.
Ooh, wow. High praise there. Let's go to UJ.
All right. I'm not going to go quite that high only because I think Jesse James is average. He didn't live up to his contract, but and beyond that, I don't even know who's out there. But Hockenson, because of Hock, I'm giving it a B+. I think Hock could be a future all pro. Oh, he is. He's an all pro now. What am I saying? He's a pro bowler. But yeah, he's
pro bowl, not
sorry,
all pro.
Sorry, yes. Thank difference. You. But he's legit, man. Hock is legit. But when we're talking about a bad draft pick, we're just talking about positional value at that point in the draft, not the pick. I love the player. He's an excellent player. And for that, I give him a solid B+ just because of Hockenson. So that's it.
All right. Yes, I'm going to give Jesse James a C. Definitely his use in the pass game has been highly, highly disappointing. Hunter Bryant, Isaac Nauta, they didn't really contribute too much. I mean, Hunter Bryant didn't even play until like the last couple games of the season here. So it's really a grade on Jesse James and TJ Hockenson mainly here. So I give Jesse James a C on the year. But Hockenson, it's a tough one because he was the sixth graded best tight end run blocker in the league this year. He obviously didn't really qualify for pass block because he goes on so many routes. But he did drop the ball 7 times this year. That's the part that bothers me about him this year, is he dropped the ball a lot.
That's a lot of drops.
Yes, he led the team in drops by 3. The next closest was Marvin Jones, and that's because he got thrown to a lot more, and then Marvin Hall. So I got to give a B+ to Hockenson. I don't think he's quite at his what he can be yet, and because of those drops – and because of a couple poor pass blocks that affected some outcomes, I'm going to go B+. I don't think it's quite an A performance from what we can get out of him.
I'd be curious how they rate those drops, because a couple of those drops, I remember he got destroyed as he was catching the ball. You know, so I don't know if those are considered drops or not. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, just off the top of my head, this is what made me look at the stat, because I remember TJ Hockenson dropping the ball so many times this year. That's what made me look up the stat in the first place, and it proved to be right. So I don't know how many we'd have to go game by game to look and see how accurate the drops rating is, but I do remember it being a problem for me during the year. But let's move on now to the defensive side of the ball, where we have a lot of high grades. And we apologize. This is our last podcast for a little while, so it's going to be a little longer than our usual ones. But let's go now to the defensive side of the ball. Let's go to the defensive line. This will be interesting. Let's start with you, UJ. We have Aquara. We have Griffin for half a season. The rest?
Ah, boy. This is a tough one. D-line, I gave him a D. This is a solid D. It wasn't all bad. They were injured a lot, nicked up a lot. Flowers got hurt. That hurt them. There were 2 bright spots in my mind, and that was Aquara, obviously, and Pennacini, I thought, was a pleasant surprise for this team. But aside from that, they just really didn't give much pressure on the quarterback, and which contributed to how horrible our defensive backs were. So it was just – it all starts there, and I don't think they lived up to anything, actually, a D. I'm not going F, because there were some bright spots, and, you know, it wasn't totally bad, but – it was not good.
Let's go with Bob.
Defensive line, man. I thought, you know, Trey Flowers is a good player, but he's injured a bunch, so we didn't get a full look at him. I thought Aquara had a breakout year. I think he was excellent. Who else we got? Hand, Shelton. I mean, just the results were terrible. I think a lot of the pass problems they have comes from the defensive line not getting good pressure. So I would go a D+, and the only bright spot is like seeing Aquara emerge. But I was really disappointing in the line. So D+.
Did you like Pennacini, though?
Rudd.
Sorry, I didn't mention Pennacini. He was also a bright spot. I like him. I think he'll be a good guy going forward. So I am very happy with him. Yeah. But if you just look at the overall results of what they did on defense, it's hard to give them a high grade as a group.
Absolutely.
You know,
Rud Dog.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a D as well. And the only reason this isn't much lower is because my boy Aquara getting 10 sacks this year. That's huge. Getting double-digit sacks. And it wasn't all meaningless junk sacks either. You know, just look at the Bears game. Got the dub because of it. Yeah, Pennacini was a nice surprise in his stoutness in the run game and even kind of got into the backfield a couple times. Danny Shelton started off like crap and then kind of settled in and actually was a decent player, I thought, for us. Griffin was nice to have in the second half of the season. I would have liked to seen him have a whole season, especially after Trey Flowers' injuries hurt. So, I mean, it's a real mixed bag, but I'm just going to give him a solid D. Like Bob said, the results weren't an F, but some individual performances, I'm giving him a D.
All right, let's go to Connor.
I don't want to echo what everyone said, but, I mean, Aquara's awesome. I mean, he's probably going to be due a big payday soon. That'll be a problem to deal with for the Lions, but outside of Aquara, I do like Pennacini a lot, actually. I thought all season, I think he's been a good rock. I think he's improved. Trey Flowers is making a ton of money, and I know he's not really playing for injuries, but, you know, that was unfortunate, I guess. Danny Shelton, I've never really been a huge Danny Shelton fan myself. The rest of the unit I thought was pretty atrocious. The defense speaks for itself. I don't think any unit on the defense should be getting above a D, in my opinion. So I'm going to go solid D on the defensive line.
Yeah. So I'll give it a D minus. Like the only reason I'm not giving a complete F is because Aquara's pass rushing. But I don't want to praise Aquara too much here because his run defense is still really bad. I think we're giving him a little too much praise, and I think the reason why he won't get as a big a contract as some might think is because his run defense is still I think below average. So you can go back and watch the Bears game if you want to see some really bad run defense out of Aquara. As far as Pennacini, I think you're also giving him way too much praise. I don't think he actually was that good this year. I just think he was a body that we ran out of bodies, and he happened to play a lot, and he stuck out every once in a while because he's a newer guy. But overall, he was an okay run defender. He wasn't great, and his pass rush is atrocious. So I wouldn't give Pennacini is maybe a backup D tackle. He's definitely not a starting D tackle going forward, in my opinion. This whole defensive line needs to be revamped. Everson Griffin, nice to have him there. Good pass rush, but every game, offsides, brutal to watch. This is a reason I think the Cowboys didn't like him either. Very undisciplined. But, I mean, a high-energy guy. He'll be around. He probably won't be around the Lions next year. The defensive line really, really needs to get an upgrade. And that's why I would love a guy like Salah to come into Detroit. He's a defensive line first guy. He's a guy that focuses. Like, that's where the crux of defense starts is the D-line. And that's what the Lions need to do. So if the Lions can get Aquara back for like $10 million, maybe that's too much. Even I'd like to see him back, but I would not overpay him at all. I don't mind seeing this whole defensive line gone except for Trey Flowers. So D minus. I probably should give it off the way I just described that, to be honest. But there's a lot to not like about this defensive line besides the Aquara pass rush. So, Connor, do you want to throw something in there?
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I think this team needs like 9 new starters. And to your point, I mean, a lot of those are on the D-line. So I would agree. Maybe we're giving Aquara too much praise.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, his pass rush, awesome, awesome, awesome. Run defense, not good. So that's where I'm at with that. But let's move on to an even worse unit, in my opinion. Arguably the worst in the entirety history of such a position group. For the linebackers, I mean, Connor, I heard your voice kind of grunting. Let's go with you, man. Please start us. Is there a grade bad enough that we can give?
This unit unequivocally gets an F. This unit's been a disaster. We've been talking all year about how the Lions can generate a pass rush. They can't do it. Tavai, oh my God. Tavai needs to be off this team tonight. This man is terrible. I don't know what Quinn was thinking. Jamie Collins, he occasionally makes a really flashy play. I get you excited, but then more often than not, he's just getting burned everywhere, like missing open tackles, like looking like a fool. Gerard Davis, I don't even know. Bizarre use of him, I think, in general by the Lions, but not good either. I mean, this unit clearly gets an F. Would anyone disagree with that grade? Like, I think they were awful. Just my opinion.
Bob, let's go to you.
Yeah, this was a pathetic group. And I've been wanting for years since, I guess, since DeAndre Levy left to get a real thumping great linebacker on the Lions. And we have not found one, and not in this group especially. Yeah, the linebacker play has been terrible. Terrible against the run, terrible against the pass. Javai looks lost out there. I mean, occasionally he'll like make a play, and you're like, oh, wow, he's actually made a play. And it's like shocks you. I kind of like Reggie Ragland for some reason. I don't know, just like his style out there. But the unit was terrible. I got to go an F on that group. Yeah, Jamie Collins, I wasn't too excited about getting him to begin with, and I don't think he proved me wrong in that. I like Jared Davis as a guy. He's a good athlete, but they have not found a way to use him, or he's just not playing well. But F for the group. Terrible.
UJ.
Yeah, same here. F. Solid F. I mean, Jamie Collins, I think, is okay. But after that, like, brutal. Brutal. Javai, all of them. Kirsten Jones. It's just a horrible unit, and it really killed us here. But just a plain straight-out F. Nothing more to say.
Burn them all. That's like from Game of Thrones, right, yeah. DJ?
Let's not talk about that show.
That was even worse Red than dog. The linebacking core.
Yeah, they were worse than the writers who ruined Game of Thrones. That's how bad they were. All right.
Red Dog.
This is a weird one because I do think Jamie Collins is not a bad linebacker. But, I mean, this is an easy F. But I still think there's some talent there, just at the sum, not much, but it's not talent depleted. But they, as a unit, they played so bad, just so bad. I mean, inexplicably bad. That the play that pops into my mind, even though this is the D line too, was it the Bears game? Or no, it was the Tampa Bay team game when the whole line just collapsed and disappeared underneath the Bucs offensive line. But that was Jamie Collins rushing at that point in time. He fell down first and. The linebacking core was trash. No matter who was good or, you know, might have been not be terrible and as an individual, as a unit, awful.
Yep. I mean, F. This is the easiest grade to give probably in the out of all these position groups. Tavai was the worst rated player in the entire defense in the NFL for anybody that played 16 games this year. just inexplicable what the Lions saw in their scouting of him. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out. He's slow. He's slow. He can't tackle. Can't cover anybody. I'm
can't pass rush.
I remember they saying like he played in a bunch of defenses at Hawaii and like he can he was smart enough to scheme. But I mean, whatever smarts he has doesn't make up for how unathletic he is on the field. I guess. I mean, just brutal. Kristen Jones, again, just kind of disappears. I've never been a fan of his. I thought maybe they're using him better, but it turned out not to be correct. Reggie Ragland, I mean, just the whole thing. It's Jamie Collins, he'll be around just because of the contract. I hope they find some use for him. Whatever they do, do not put him against any sort of running back in coverage. Oh my God. For the love of God, please don't. And we saw in these last few games, Jalen Reeves-Maven, there is a reason why he is not a three-down linebacker. He gets bowled over in the run game, like terribly so. He's just undersized. But he's a great special teamer, so he'll still be around in the NFL, but just not as a – I do want to see him more used as a – I mean, we've been saying this over and over again. In passing downs, I think that's where he'd still excel, yeah. But nonetheless, just the worst linebacking group in the NFL – bar none. just terrible. I want to throw out this stat, too. I thought it was just a fun stat for how bad this Lions. As we mentioned, the Lions had the worst defense in the entirety of the franchise, which is saying a lot for the losingest franchise in NFL history. But they gave up the most points and the most yards in our franchise. And let me just say, the Lions gave up the most points in the NFL this year. They gave up 519, 32.4 a game. And the best defense in the NFL is the Rams. They gave up 296 and 18.5. So a humongous gap between the top and the bottom of the NFL and how far the Lions need to go to get to that upper tier. It's a long way to go.
How do we compare to the next team?
The next team was the Jaguars, the 1-15 Jaguars, which again, we were talking about Stafford and like the offense, how much they might be saved this season to somewhat of a degree when you have a defense this bad.
We beat them by like 30 points too.
Yeah. Let's move on now to the defensive backs. So I want to start with Bob on this one. Let's go to the defensive backs. A promising group before the season. Baby. And not so promising.
Yeah. Well, they were actually. I mean, they were obviously a huge disappointment. Justin Coleman hasn't lived up to his contract. Trufant, we brought him in. He came as billed, a guy who doesn't play that well and gets injured a lot. And he showed up from people who had seen him told me that. And that was what he was pretty much what he produced. Our strength is probably our backups, like Ford and Moore, you know,
you're right.
But that's probably, we have decent backups, but like Oruwariye, I loved him when he was, you know, it looked like he was going to emerge as like a really good player. And then he just got burned left and right. Okuda, I still think the jury's out on him. He was a solid tackler. He was battling injuries. There's a weird thing with him too. Like he had a thing with the management. He wanted to get that surgery way earlier in the season. They wouldn't let him. And then it took off his top speed, you know, like he felt a little hampered on that. So I think Okuda, the jury's out on him. But as far as this year, he obviously, his coverage is terrible. He was a solid tackler. But I have to go with an F with this group. It was a really disappointing group. So
do you think if Quinn and Patricia's jobs weren't on the line, that Okuda would get that surgery? Encourage him to get the surgery?
I really don't know why that happened. Is that what you think? Because
that's my guess. You know, they drafted this guy third overall, and he's going to get surgery right away. That takes him out for several weeks out of the season, like when their jobs are on the line. I would imagine that's where the pressure would come from to make him play.
He was saying like it was just weird communicating with the coach and Quinn. So whatever they were doing, it didn't work. So I would say after the group.
So let's go to Connor, defensive backs.
I actually really liked Mike Ford this year. I thought he made some nice plays. I mean, obviously put in a weird situation. Trufant, I had a bad feeling about Trufant from the beginning, just because I knew about his injury history with the Falcons and everything. He's not a bad player, but I mean, all those injury concerns came true. They took the risk and it didn't.
Specifically, his hamstring especially was an issue before coming to Detroit.
Yeah. So when he was that week one when he went down, I was like, oh boy. And he never really restored that faith for me. What was I going to say? I'm sorry. Coleman, not very good. Warrior, not very good. Okuda, I know there's been a lot of debate in this group about who we should have drafted as number three. I still believe in my heart of hearts that Okuda can end up being one of the best picks of that draft. I think the injury thing was weird. I don't really know what to make of Okuda. Obviously, if you just base it off his stats, disappointing season for him, but I really think he's going to turn it around strongly next year. That being said, though, this unit was awful. There's no getting around that. I'm going to give them a D-. I don't know why I'm not giving them an F. I guess I'm just feeling generous today.
All right, let's go to you, Jay.
All right, I'll make it quick. You guys have said a lot of things that I agree with, more or less. I kind of disagree on Awarie a little bit. I think he's going to be a good player. He had an up-and-down year. At times, he was pretty good. At times, he was pretty bad. But I liked him. Harmon, I liked a lot at safety. But other than that, I didn't like much about any of our defense. It was a horrible, horrible year. Okuda, like Bob said, the jury's out. I think he may still be a great player. The injury probably has something to do with it, but we'll have to wait and see with him. But also, you got to blame a lot of it on our defensive line was so freaking horrible. So I'm going to give him an F plus, if there is such a thing. So F plus for our, they were really bad. Okay. But it wasn't all their fault, hence the plus. So.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Rud Dog.
You know, UJ's right. Out of every unit on a defense, it's the secondary that gets the brunt of everything that happens in the front two units. So it's, I mean, I think they do get a little bit of a scale here. Awarie started out looking okay, and then, like Bob said, turned to trash late down the stretch. I don't know what the heck, but I still agree with UJ in that I think he's one worth holding on to for a bit. Because I also think scheme is the other thing that comes before the defensive line linebackers as far as these guys go, and our scheme was not good. A little better from last year, but not good. So, I mean, like you said, Trufant, I think the real problem was there that we drove away Slay, but fine. We got Trufant. He sucked. He got injured. Coleman, I don't know why we made him the highest paid nickelback, because he was getting beat all the time. And Okuda, rookie, you know, I thought he did an admirable job. Got toasted a lot. And if he was injured, then, you know, it is what it is. But, oh, I think here's the one that really hurts me. No one's mentioned yet. And this was Tracy Walker.
Yeah, I wasn't mentioning.
Oh, my God. Like, I still thought he was going to be superstar status eventually. And this year he looked like he didn't even belong in the league. So, F. Just a solid F. They sucked.
There is one thing that they did with Tracy Walker towards the end. They started using him more in pass rushing situations and blitzing him off the edge. And he was really excelling at that, I thought. I don't know where that was before.
It's too bad he slammed his whole body weight onto the quarterback in the last game.
Yeah.
Oh, what a terrible penalty to take. No, I'm just kidding.
That's got
to
be the worst call in NFL history. And the Lions have had a lot of them. But, I mean, that is literally the game of football. Like,
right.
You're tackling a guy to the ground.
That was outrageous.
That's football.
Outrageous.
So bad.
I mean, I don't know if we need to go on more into it. I mean, it's just so apparently obvious. The DBs, I'm going to give a D. And that's because, like Rud Dog was saying, I mean, when you are giving up the most time to pass in the NFL, it's really hard to give a complete grade on the DBs. Like, when you have to defend for 4 seconds compared to, like, maybe, like, the L.A. Rams, whose cornerbacks only have to defend for 2.5 seconds or less every time. I mean, there's a big difference there, in the, especially the NFL, when you have that much extra time to throw the ball. So it's really hard to give a complete F to this unit. I thought Daron Harmon did play really well, and he played hard. Okuda, bad in the pass, but, man, he looked really good in the run game. That's what encourages me about him, the fact that he was sticking his nose in there. I think he was the – I mean, if Okuda played a full season, he'd be the top-graded cornerback in run defense. So there is some really promising results there. I really hope he gets the footwork thing figured out, because his feet got tangled up a lot this year. I don't know why. Awarie, he's probably a third cornerback. I wouldn't say he's a future starting cornerback for the Lions. I hope they can figure out a second cornerback outside of Okuda. That's my opinion. Coleman, yeah, I mean, just bad. Overpaid, did not perform up to what we're paying him. So I'm going to give it a D, though, just because of the whole pass rush situation. And like Rud Dog was saying, the linebackers, too. So, D. Let's... We have three more things to discuss here. Let's go special teams really quick. So that includes Jack Fox and Matt Prater and Dan Mulbach, of course. So let's go around really quick with this one. Let's start with Rud Dog.
All of them?
Yeah, special teams as a
whole. Okay. Jack Fox, A-. He came on real strong, had some flat points during the year, but overall I thought he had a really good year. Actually, I think he struggled when he had to start punting into a short field. Couldn't just give his whole boot into it. He started kicking it out of bounds or in the end zone and stuff. But and then Mulbach, this is like his worst season yet ever as a pro. He was throwing some bad snaps back there, but I mean, still for the most part did okay. So B- though for him, just for his standards. And then Prater, C, I think. He made some good ones, but missed way more than it was acceptable for him. So there we go.
Yeah.
As a whole unit, this is probably one of our best units, so B.
All right. Eugene, that's good to you. And just a grade for the unit itself, not all three.
I say for the unit, I give them an A minus. They were actually a very good bright spot for this team. The only down thing being that Prater missed more field goals than normal. Other than that, Fox was great. We had a couple of good run backs, had a touchdown. Agnew had that great touchdown. I give him an A minus. I think it was a high point for our team, our special teams.
Connor.
I'm going to give him a B plus. I thought those block punts were really cool this year. That was really wild to see. Jack Fox was awesome. And Prater, I don't know. We'll see what happens with him. Hopefully it was just a down year. But I'll go B plus on the unit.
Bob.
Jack Fox was a great find for the Lions. I thought he was really good. I liked our kick coverage was good this year, and our return game was decent. Prater had an off year. He's great at those long field goals. If they just kick him all over 50 yards, he'd be good. But if extra points and like short field goals, he has a problem with. But so he was off this year. But I'd give it a, because of the other part of the unit, I'd say a B overall.
Yeah, I go B plus. Prater did miss a lot more field goals than he ever has, but he did make the clutch field goals that need, like, so against the Redskins. I'm trying to think of some other ones, but the ones like that, he did come in and hit those field goals when they needed it in the fourth quarter, late in the game. So I will give him that. And then Jack Fox set a net putting yards record for the team, so I consider that an A-plus effort out of him.
That's impressive.
And I think he led the NFL too, and he's a Pro Bowler. So that doesn't get any better than that. And you know what that means? That we had a great special teams coordinator. He's going to be on a lot of lists. Oh no, we fired him.
Yeah, what the?
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Braden Combs' career. Actually, if we hired Marvin Lewis, you know, he works with Marvin Lewis for like 8 years in Cincinnati. Would Braden Combs come back to the Lions? No, I don't think so. That's something that came to my head, though. But yeah, so B plus. Let's move on now. Let's go to the coaching.
Oh boy.
I mean, we've said a lot about the coaching already, I think, in the past. So maybe just a quicker grade here. Let's go to Bob though first.
Patricia, an F. Probably gave him a little bit of a spark. Our defensive Umlin was terrible. Give him an F. Bevel, maybe I give him a B. So I don't know what that averages out to overall, but it was bad. So
B for Bevel.
Yeah.
All right, UJ.
All right, Patricia, I give him a G because that comes after F, right? Like, what's worse than F? A Z. I give him a Z. No, horrible. Patricia, and I'll admit, I'll be the first to admit if any listeners out there listen to us from the beginning, I was a slappy. Okay, I was. Because I drink a lot of Kool-Aid and I hope for the best. Well, it did not turn out for the best. It was horrible. Patricia was terrible. Worst coach ever. Quinn, awful. F. Oh, God. Bevel, I give him a B or maybe even a B plus for what he did when he had the opportunity. I think Patricia held him back a lot, but man, it was it was enlightening to see Stafford let loose. It was beautiful. The defense, Unlin, I'd give him a D only because when Patricia was gone, I think he tried a lot of different things, just didn't have the personnel to make it work, but I give him credit for trying some different stuff. So I'll just give him a D. So overall, the coaching was just god awful. I don't even know what to say. Special team was great, but other than that, it was not good. That's it.
All right, let's go to Connor.
I mean, Patricia, obviously an F. Like, I've never seen a team so like broken and so like full of hatred for a coach as I've seen with Matt Patricia. So we don't have to talk about him anymore. Daryl Bevel, you know, I think he came into a really tough situation. You know, he's at Henry Ford Museum. He gets a text. He's the new head coach. I mean, he did the best he could. He got a really entertaining Bears game. I thought that was my favorite game to watch this year. And he gave the team some fight. And once Patricia was gone, the offense really opened up. I'm going to give him a B. on one F. I mean, when you have the worst defense in Lions history, you can't get anything more than an F.
Nope.
In my opinion. So that's my...
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Obviously, Patricia, I wish if we could add more letters to the end of this, then he's got them all. The worst. He was terrible from beginning to end. Bevel, I would give him... If you, especially post Patricia, a B plus. Before that, I thought the offense was not that great, but I think we see that was Patricia. Unlin, I agree with UJ to some extent that I think a lot of our bad defensive aspects were again due to Patricia. And by the time Unlin really had it all to himself, he had the scraps of players left. I mean, I'm still not saying he did great, D minus, but overall, the special teams was the other one. They got a B plus, but overall F. I mean, the coaching is where this all really happens for the results of the season. So fail.
Yep. I mean, obviously from a head coaching perspective, an F from Patricia, there's no doubt about that. We've gotten a link to that in the past. I don't think we need to expound there, but Darren Bevel, I'm going to give an A-. I thought he did an awesome job this year. I actually thought he put him in really good positions early in the season, too. Stafford didn't execute on a few throws as well. And he was obviously hampered by the Patricia scheme because we saw last year, the first 8 games, what the Darren Bevel offense was, and then it came back after Patricia was fired this year. So I think Darren Bevel actually did as good a job as he almost possibly could. There might be like a few things in there, but I really like Darren Bevel. I really hope he comes back. I think he's awesome.
As a head coach?
Fan of his since he got here. No, not as a head coach. I think the perfect thing would be Saleh and him staying as offensive coordinator. I know said if Saleh comes here, LaFleur's brother comes over here, BOC, which would be interesting. But I would love to keep Darren Bevel and not have LaFleur come over. That'd be ideal for me. In my head, I really think Darren Bevel and Matt and Stafford are on the same page. I don't want to see Stafford go through another offensive coordinator because I do think Stafford will be back, and I think him and Bevel are of same mind, especially when it comes to the deep throwing, and I hope to see that going forward. So let's we have 2 more categories, so let's go to the GM. Bob Quinn got fired, so I can't imagine the grades will be high. Let's go to Connor, or let's go to UJ first. We haven't gone to UJ first
it's
in a while.
Total F. there's nothing you can say. I mean,
Q. Give him a Q.
Okay, give him a Q. A Q for Quinn. Yeah, we shall. These names should never be mentioned in Lions lore again. Quinn, Patricia, and that other guy, Millen. He should be added to the list of names who should never be mentioned here again. They should be wiped from our history. It was bad. I was hopeful in the beginning. You know, we always are in the beginning, like we will be next year. But, boy, was it a disaster. Just horrible. I mean, he had a few lucky picks here and there that worked out, like Galladay and whatever. But, no, he sucked. He was terrible. Worst ever.
All right, Connor. Huh.
I will confess that I was originally a Quinn Slappy when we first got him. I really thought his vision was going to work out, and it didn't. I mean, this defense needs to be completely revamped. Like, I think they need at least 9 new studies. And I think besides a couple exciting picks and, like, 1 or 2 good free agency moves, I think the rest of Quinn's tenure has been a disaster. I'm going to say an F.
Red Dog.
Okay, well, I mean – there's one major mistake that Quinn made that basically taints his entire rest of his career, and that is obviously picking Patricia. I mean, that set him up for failure. He went as Patricia went because when you really look at this team, I know people like Hockenson, and he did good this year, but 2 years in a row, we could have had the chance to actually build up this defense. Or if we had actually picked a D lineman that year, then actually having Okuda this year might have made more sense. But he failed to address the defensive line and the linebacker core in meaningful, effective ways and gave us the worst defense in the NFL. Maybe the history? Is the history? Or it's historically bad for us anyway. And then, I mean, the offense, he did okay. I respect what he tried to do on the O-line, though he failed. I don't give him a complete F when I separate him from Patricia. I thought – His roster moves were a mixed bag. He found some nice gems in Galladay, and I think Jonah Jackson will turn out to be a gem. And a few, there's a few others. I thought he did okay in the middle rounds. I just had a problem with his first early picks. So, I mean, I don't know. I'll give him a D, solid D. Not good, but, oh, and as UJ always pointed out, we aren't in cap hell, so you got to respect that.
All right, Bob.
Yeah, Quinn, yeah, I'd probably give him a D plus. Red Dog was saying, hiring Patricia was his worst move, and then he made some really bad moves like T's Tabor and Tavai. The cornerback we just got from Atlanta. But he made some decent picks here and there. I personally like the Hawk pick a lot. I think, but it's easy to pick those first round picks. It's not as big of a deal. And then some of the guys he brought over, I thought he overpaid for. So we got some big contracts. I don't think we're in the greatest cap situation that you seem to think, Red Dog, because we have a ton of free agents and we got to turn things around. So I would give him a D plus.
Yeah. So, I mean, the grade for me is just based on his performance this year. We talked about his overall. But getting Swift, I thought was good. But, I mean, paying Big V, that obviously was a big fail this year. That money could have gone maybe towards a defensive lineman instead of they throw it on an offensive lineman that barely played for us and when he was in wasn't very good. So that was troublesome. And he never really addressed the defensive line. Like, I mean, he got Nick Williams on a cheap price. Danny Shelton, he thought he was going to steal, I think. He never really addressed it except for the Everson Griffin trade, and by that point it was too late. So, I mean, it's going to be enough F for me. And obviously he got fired because it was enough performance. Let's now go to the final one. That is ownership. So Sheila Ford Camp in her first year as owner. What do we think of her? What grade is she getting from us?
I like her.
Are we getting free tickets or not based on this grade? Let's see. Let's go to Connor first.
I really like her so far. I think since she chose to fire Patricia, she has done everything correctly. I think bringing in Spielman was awesome. We've already talked about all this. But it seems like finally we're getting like a full-fledged search for coach and GM. And I don't know, it gives me more confidence than I had in the past. So I don't know what grade to give her. I guess an A-. She hasn't really been there that long, but I like her a lot.
All right, Bob.
Yeah, she has a small body of work, but I like the fact that she fired Patricia without hesitation, and I like the process they've started. So I'll give her an A based on her limited work so far. So we'll see, but so far an A.
UJ.
Yeah, I'm with Bob on this one. Work is limited, but she's stayed true to her word. And when they didn't perform, she fired them, Patricia and Quinn. And that was, it was encouraging. So for the future, I mean, it looks good right now. I'll give her an A.
Red Dog.
Yeah, early indicators are good. She's doing what she should be doing thus far. And that's all you can ask. You know, we'll see as she gets into more serious situations and serious decisions here. But yeah, early indicators good. A.
I'm also going to give an A. I think her bringing in Spielman is a big one. And by all accounts, she gave a great speech to Spielman to like kind of bring it home because he's been kind of reluctant to get into the NFL like front office space here for many years, and she's the one that finally got him to come in. Whatever she said, Spielman said it was like a coach giving like a speech at halftime, rallying the troops like that, like. He said he's willing to run through a wall for her by the end of their talk. So I'd love to see what she said during that conversation.
Me too.
But,
do you think they're grooming him for like future GM or something?
Yeah. Well, that's what Dave Burkett addressed that on the radio today. And he thinks he wouldn't have given up that huge Fox job unless he had some kind of future. So either GM or like team president is probably in his future.
Yeah, team president seems more appropriate.
Yeah,
I would think.
Yeah,
why? Wouldn't he be more on the football side?
I feel like he's above the GM role right now, so that's why I feel like he'd be going down a step rather than up a step. So,
well, that's more control of the actual team, though, as GM.
Yeah, but I feel like he's going to have more say on personnel decisions, even with the hiring of GM here, than we realize. His role isn't fully defined. He's kind of like he's floating around all football operations, is what it sounds like. And
I still say this may be their best hiring of all. Getting Spielman.
We'll see.
I just really believe that in my heart. So we'll see.
I certainly hope so. So in A, she inherited Patricia by the time she got full control of the ownership. So. Getting rid of him fast, I thought was a good thing as well. And now she's like kind of like a meme with her hands in her face in the skybox and no one else around her. So kudos to her for that, at least.
I just want to point out something a little further about the Spielman and bringing in Barry Sanders. I feel like she's actually trying to create an identity at the ownership level, at like the management level. Instead of starting it in the locker room, she's starting it with Lions players, like Detroit Lions for life people at the highest level, people who have been a part of this organization, who have bled on the field for the organization. She's having them in, and the fact that they don't have such a defined role, they're going to be filtering in the people who come in to actually do the job and build this organization going forward, and I think that's something to be really excited about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now, as you can tell, the Kool-Aid for 2020 has been completely poured out, but we have refilled and we are getting ready for 2021. There's no doubt about it.
It's flowing, baby.
All right.
Well, I give my fellow podcasters an A for this season. We had to go through a lot of adversity.
I give you an A+. So.
All right. A+ is all right.
And our listeners an A+ for staying with us through the another tumultuous season.
Oh, my goodness.
For sure.
An A++.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, I mean, it only goes up from here, right? I want to say. But we did have 5 wins. It could go down. We've seen the down. We've seen the low of the low.
Yeah.
Go there. But, no, we drink the Kool-Aid here. It's all going uphill from here.
Well, the defense can only get better.
That's true. Yeah, right. That's true. That is very true.
Don't say that.
Oh, man.
There's always more points.
So as you can tell, the length of this podcast, this is our last one for a little while here. We might have one like we did last year before the Super Bowl, just kind of breaking down some prop bets and predicting who's going to win that game. But really quick, before we end the podcast, who is your prediction to win the Super Bowl based on the remaining teams? Let's go around really quick. Rud Dog.
Chiefs.
UJ.
Buffalo.
Connor.
Bills.
Did you say Buffalo? Bills?
Yep.
Bob.
Chiefs. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm between Buffalo and the Chiefs, but I got to lean Chiefs right now just because they have the home field advantage. But, man, Buffalo does look really good right now, and I'll probably be rooting for them, even if that's not my pick. So those are our Super Bowl predictions as well. One last
way
prediction.
Too early ones.
So look out for a podcast happening like the week before the Super Bowl starts about. But other than that, we're going to be a little quiet on this channel for a while.
We might have an emergency podcast when we hire somebody.
Oh, yes. That's right. You're right. You're right, Bob. We will definitely have an emergency podcast if we hire a GM or a coach.
Ones. Yeah,
or both. So
GM and coach.
Yeah, we can definitely have multiple emergency podcasts for sure coming up. So be prepared for that. It could happen at any moment. I would imagine in like a week and a half or so because there are interviews happening next week. Unless there's a guy like Salah that is getting offers from everywhere and you need to make a decision, you might see a hire before one of those interviews happens. Nonetheless, we want to thank everybody for listening. Really appreciate it. We also want to thank our producer, Kid J, a great deal.
Yeah.
He helps do this a lot. He spends a lot of time on it. And, you know, his voice isn't heard on here, but we really appreciate it. And he's actually a Rams fan. He's not even a Lions fan. He's helping produce it. So congrats to him on his team getting the playoffs at least. And he helped the Bears fans out too by knocking out the Cardinals and getting them in the playoffs. Anyways. Yeah, Instagram at Drinking the Boo Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions, Apple, Spotify, regular podcast. We are on there. Please subscribe. Please leave a review on Apple. We really appreciate that as well. I mean, 2021, it's a brand new year. The Lions are, headed to a long offseason with a lot of big changes occurring, and we can't wait to talk about it with you all here on Drinking the Boo Kool-Aid. So, for the last time of this 2020-2021 season, last but not least, as always,
go!
Go!
Field, a charging team that will not yield, and when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave, rock, 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 go hard, win the game, with honor you will keep your fame, down the field and gain, a Lions victory,
go!
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.